So enough about that. I want to talk to you today about DNS, so TLS, SNI, HTTPS, and in general DNS and privacy. And I know I stand between you and drinks, so I'll try to keep this brief and lively. So usually when I DNS is like old, like really old, but then I look at this room and we are old, also old. So I usually make this joke, and is there anyone here that is younger than DNS? And then usually everyone goes like this. So here, who is younger than DNS? Well, there are a few of you. Give me some hope. But you can imagine, in 1979, this description of DNS is not compatible with today's DNS. So if you implement this software based on this standard, you would not have a working name server. The specification from 1987 is fully interoperable with today. So if you launch a name server written in 1987, it will work just fine. Well, it's old, old stuff. And back in the day, there was no encryption. Encryption was borderline illegal at that time. If you did encryption, you would get the NSA on your case, and they would say, well, maybe not, or do you ever want to leave the country again? And so DNS is like the last plain text protocol on the internet. We added TLS to SMTP and to IMAP and to the web itself and everything, and the DNS has just been sitting there in all its plain text glory. And it gets blamed for being the last plain text protocol, and it turns out that this is not quite true. We will get to that later. A brief recap, DNS is three letters, it sounds like one thing, it's actually many things. So if you have a phone, it will actually talk DNS frequently to the little router, the little modem box in your house, and that one will talk to a resolver at your internet service provider, and that one will talk to a whole bunch of authoritative servers, and these things are all called DNS, but they're actually very different, as we will find out. And in terms of privacy, it matters a lot where you actually do the privacy in this schema. So, DNS sat there until from 1987 to 1999, almost nothing happened. People did write a lot of IRCs, but no one implemented them. And DNS just sat there, sort of stayed the same, and then people got bored. And people said, we need crypto, we need actual encryption for DNS, because it's legal now, more or less. Let's start doing that. And then they said, okay, we want to add crypto to DNS, and we're not going to change anything. Everything's going to stay the same. Because we love this protocol, and we just want to put the crypto between the bits that are already there. And this turned out to be massively difficult, because encryption and DNS, they don't go too well together. DNS, for example, may reorder your answers, which does nothing for your encryption. So DNS really didn't work for encryption, but still they went on and on. And at some point, some of you will also actually encrypt the packet, so we get privacy in DNS. And then everyone went like, no, let's not. And a big reason behind that was because encryption was sort of legal then at the time, but only a few years before that, you still had the Netscape Export Edition with the 42-bit crypto. So it wasn't quite like that crypto was super okay. And what also didn't help, and this is not a conspiracy theory, everyone should just look this up, DNSSEC development was mostly sponsored by the US Department of Defense. And they even put some military guy in charge of that, and he's a really nice guy, by the way. But they were like, encryption? No, you don't need that. So they only did integrity in there. You only know with DNSSEC, the only thing you know, the answer you got there is the original answer. That's all you know. Why do I say that it's a negative privacy impact? DNS is not able to say your question has no answer. The way DNS answers that is saying, here are all the answers to your question, and then nothing. That means if you want to sign that, you have to sign nothing. Which you can do, you can sign nothing, but it's the universal nothing answer. So from that on, you have an answer that will say there's an answer to nothing for everything. So it's super nice, actually, they couldn't do it. So they nearly gave up and said, oh, what can we do? And then, oh, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to take DNS, take your zone with all your records in there, like www, but also staging server 1. And we're going to put them in sort of alphabetical order, And if we want to say that the domain name doesn't exist, we say, well, between staging server 1 and staging server 2, there is nothing. And we're going to sign that. That is clever. It's very clever. And then like 12 minutes after they launched that, everyone realized that this is a dictionary of DNS. Because you get all these things and say, yeah, your question has no answer, but these two things do exist. And then you walk. You can just walk a zone there. So previously, the DNS zone was private. Afterwards, it was no longer private. So DNSSEC did nothing for privacy. DNSSEC only made it worse. Then they added lots more crypto and hashing functions to it, and then also didn't help. It made it more complex. Anyhow, we at PowerDNS at first, we said DNS is just too complicated and we're not going to do it. The world disagreed. So then we did it, and now actually we power most of the DNSSEC zones in the world. But some people have still not forgotten that I spent like 5 years telling everyone it was too complex. So they still tell me, yeah, you hate DNSSEC, and half of the zones are signed by my software, okay? Have I made up for it now? Maybe. Yeah, it's like maybe like Microsoft needs to spend like 10 years being good before everyone forgives them your stuff. And then people said, look, the DNSSEC is too complicated, it doesn't give me privacy. And then Dan Bernstein came along, and he's super mega brilliant. He really lives on a different planet. And he invented very exciting elliptical curve cryptography, which is faster than any elliptical curve cryptography that anyone ever made. And then he said, now I'm also going to fix DNS for you. And a bit like Isaac Newton, who said, first I'm going to invent differential calculus, and then I'm going to do gravity. and then he turned 35, I think, or something like that. But Dan built DNS Curve, and on top of that, other people built DNS Crypto, and this is like, encrypted DNS. It's transport. So this does not encrypt your answer, it encrypts the transmission of that answer, and this solves like all your problems. Because now you can suddenly just send an answer that says your question. I signed the packet that said that your question has no answer, and it was super simple, and you should all have done this. And people didn't do it, because they had already spent like 12 years working on DNSSEC. And also, they thought that Dan was too clever. We have now sort of made peace with him, since half the world now runs on his encryption algorithms. But at the time, people just said, no, that's too clever, and didn't do it. But if we had done this whole, but I would not have had to keep you from here if this had happened, because I would have no presentation right now. Sad thing. Then skip ahead to 2015, when people said, yeah, well, DNS needs encryption. We're going to ignore Dan Bernstein. And we're going to use DNS over TLS. Previously, TLS had been too slow and too cumbersome to do DNS with, but everyone could see TLS 1.3 coming. TLS 1.3 is actually a lot nicer. So people said, okay, let's just standardize asking DNS questions over a TLS encrypted connection, which is nice. It's simple and it works. And they put it in port 853 TCP. Normal DNS is on port 53, this is on 853. And this was a good idea, and literally no one used it. And why didn't anyone use it? For one, port 853 is just blocked almost everywhere. So you could try to do DNS over TLS, you will not get anywhere. But it's nice, the standard is there, and it's good. And then for a while, nothing happened. And then people said, we're going to do something extra. Yes?
Why was TLS not used over port 53?
That's a very good question. Why was DNS over TLS not used over port 53? Actually, PowerDNS, for example, you can send telemetry from PowerDNS servers, and that never gets through firewalls either. So now we just use port 53 for that. That works really, really well. So yeah, it's a good question. Maybe they should have done that. Maybe they should have done that. It would not be DNS, though. And you could still filter it somehow and say, yeah, this doesn't look like DNS. But maybe these people were naive when they made it. I don't know. So then 2018, all of a sudden, they said, well, we're going to try DNS over HTTPS, because no one filters HTTPS. HTTPS is the new TCP. And everyone was like super, all the browser people and the CDN people, they barely know how TCP works these days anymore. They have no idea how it works, but they know HTTP really well. So they said, we're just going to use HTTPS for DNS because we love that stuff and our browser can already do it, which is true, of course. And then some people said, yeah, well, if you're going to do DNS over HTTPS, will it also support language headers and cookies and tracking? I said, yeah, because it's the real HTTPS. Okay. Well, we in the DNS world, we're not super happy with that, but the thing is, these are all super nice people from Google and Mozilla, and Google and Mozilla have spent like 15 or 20 years being nice to us. So, because for the open source world, they have both been really nice. They have been part of that. So, when Microsoft does something new, everyone goes like, is that good? And when Google does something, lots of people go like, it's gotta be fine because it's good. And so they came along with it and we said, look, there are all these downsides and all of a sudden DNS used to be super anonymous. Now you put all this stuff in there. And they said, no, trust us. we'll look at what that means. So now we have DNS over TLS and DNS over HTTPS. We can start securing DNS to pick internet service providers who are my customers. They could start using this stuff. And operating system vendors could say, hey, we're going to use DNS over TLS so we can encrypt our DNS queries, and nothing happened. Because Apple was like, we're busy making earphones. And Microsoft was at the time like, well, this is Active Directory. They were not really into it either. So there is now a way to serve DNS encrypted. There is a way to query it encrypted. But none of the operating systems were doing it, and none of the big service providers of the world were enabling it. So nothing happened. We only had encrypted DNS in theory. And then the miracle happened. American browser vendors and CDN says this privacy disaster has to end. And the torture, the carnage in Europe has to end. You need to use DNS over HTTPS because it's terrible. And okay. And they became really active at it. They installed three new chair people at the IETF who approved all this stuff. And they became really enthusiastic about it, and they said, we must do DNS over HTTPS for privacy reasons. And you must put it in the cloud. And you must all send it to us. And we will put on paper that we will not do anything with it. And And the thing is, I will explain what this means. DNS is metadata. So we have now been able to encrypt the contents of the websites you visit, but we have not yet been able to encrypt the fact that you visited that website. So if you now go visit nlugg.nl, then the contents of that visit are encrypted, but anyone on the sniffing the wire can see, okay, you just visit nlugg.nl. And people say, yeah, that's only metadata. Real contents, like the program of this meeting, they are safely encrypted. So you might think, who cares about metadata? The same thing, it's very difficult to make a phone call and not have your telephone company know that you made a phone call. Because they know, that's what they do. They let you make phone calls, they have to know who you are calling. So it's very tricky to encrypt metadata. Now, is metadata important? One day you might get a phone call from a Swiss bank, for whatever reason. One day the US government learns of that, and one day they start to launch a tax investigation on you, based on the simple fact that you made a phone call with a Swiss bank. And this was me. And this really, it was a fun exercise because they found out, they investigated me and there was nothing, I got a nice letter, so that's all good. This whole investigation was started based on the fact that there was a phone call between me and a Swiss bank. That's it. But this shows you the importance of encrypting metadata. In my case, I did nothing wrong, so fine for me. But one day, I would like to do something that is wrong. or someone said, I have nothing to hide, but no one needs to know that. So metadata is super important. Don't get me wrong, because people have said, Bert, you hate DNS over HTTPS because you hate privacy. No, that's not it. I love privacy. metadata privacy leaks. You use the internet, who can tell what sites you are visiting? And the whole story is now DNS is the last leak. DNS is the last and only place in which the plain text name of a website is. And turns out this is actually completely not true. But if you gather PCAP files of your own internet traffic, you need only do this for your own internet traffic, not your family and friends, because it's always disappointing. So what you will see that your browser is still attempting to HTTP connections. And it will send the whole plain text host and stuff, and then will immediately get redirected to HTTPS, but still, it's there. The second, of course, big leak, and that's the one we're talking about now, is DNS. DNS, super plain text. Okay, we know that. Then there's a thing called SNI. It's called server name indication. And whenever you start a new TLS connection, the server on the other end might have multiple certificates ready for you. And SNI tells you, I am trying to connect to NLUUG.nl. That's the certificate I want from you. But it has to say that before the encryption has started. Lots of people think that TLS 1.3 solved this problem. It's not true. It has not been solved at all, because it's stupendously hard to solve. It is an extremely difficult problem. So right now, whenever you set up a TLS connection, your browser will nicely tell you, oh, by the way, I'd like to connect to this site. Okay. Then, many other browsers, once you are connected, will say, oh, I need to verify if the certificate has been revoked. So I'm going to set up an OCSP connection to your certificate authority and ask them if this certificate is still valid. Okay. And in order to prevent bootstrapping problems, all of this stuff is plain text. So whenever you use Firefox to connect somewhere, Let's Encrypt, and I love Let's Encrypt, don't get me wrong on that one, but they have an OCSP server, it's completely plain text. So whenever you browse the internet and you visit with Firefox and Let's Encrypt website, the Let's Encrypt people get a little ping. It says, okay, this guy just visited NLUUG tonight, which is, of course, nice or not bad. OCSP is enabled in all the browsers except Chrome, because the Chrome people are really good. They said this is bonkers, because it gives you a complete trail of all your internet access traffic patterns to a certificate authority, who are very decent people. So it's not the best thing. Google has a better solution. They send a list to your browser of all the results and certificates, so they did a good thing there. Firefox does OCSP, Safari does an Internet Explorer, doesn't it? Okay, they're still doing it. The final thing that leaks is, of course, the IP address you're connecting to. Now, you might be connecting to an IP address that hosts 12,000 sites, so no one knows which site you are visiting. The NLUUG website, for example, is hosted on a shared VPS that hosts a bunch of other websites, presumably. But very often, if you connect to my website, the IP address even tells you exactly what you're connecting to. So hiding the name doesn't still not hide who you are connecting to. So these are the five places where your plain text communications are still leaking. ESNI. Encrypted server name indication. This is like super hard. And some of the most clever people on the internet spent years on it. The problem is you cannot just say, let's encrypt that name. Because everyone that encrypts that name comes up with the same encrypted key, the same encrypted message. So if you could just encrypt that, anyone else could also just connect to NLUUG, see what the encrypted name is, and go like, ah, well done. So this actually, to solve this, you need a DNS lookup, which then also needs to be encrypted, and that gives you a public key, and with that public key you encrypt the ESNI. And this is super difficult. But they're trying to fix it, and maybe it will work. But it's difficult. But again, some very smart people are working on it, and it's stupid that they did not design TLS originally in a different way, but that was the policy choice. So, DNS over cloud. If we give our DNS to Google, or we give it to Cloudflare, who are the big people that are pushing this, they bypass your operating system, they bypass your own network, they set up a straight DNS connection to the cloud. Which means that they determine what you can see and how you can see it, if you can see it, and how fast you can see it. Let's say you have DNS security features, where you say, well, I have this, for example, spam house list of malware in the domains or phishing related domains, and I am blocking those things from my network. Well, not anymore, because Firefox will get your DNS straight from Cloudflare and will bypass your security monitoring and your security filtering. You can say, well, I'm going to filter that stuff. I'm going to prevent that from going out to the network. And then they said, no, that's why we actually are planning to co-locate this on very busy HTTPS servers. So if you want to take that down, you take down all of that, which might be worthwhile. So now they have now realized that this is not a very good thing to do, so they have promised to put their DNS over HTTPS, their cloud servers, on well-known IP addresses, so that you could block this if you want. But still, the control of your network is moving away from you and your network and your service provider to the cloud. And is that good? Is that bad? Let's see if we have a slide on that. Yeah, well, we do. It might be good. But I have to realize when I'm saying that this is not good, I'm talking about the cloud. The fact that DNS over HTTPS exists is not the problem. It could be really nice. I like to use it, okay? It is the fact that people want to move this to the cloud by default. That is a problem to me. So what might break? I mentioned your security filtering might break. Your monitoring might break because you might be, it's very instructive to look at the DNS lookups that come out of a network because infected machines are very visible there. They get a lot of surf fail responses, for example, because they try to connect to former malware domains that have now been disabled. One less obvious thing that might break is your CDN performance. How does that work? A few weeks ago, we got the release of the Mueller report on Donald Trump, and I really wanted to download that, and I was using the Cloudflare DNS over HTTPS service. So they are doing my DNS for me. The PDF for that was hosted on Akamai. Akamai has nodes all over the world to download stuff from. And Cloudflare sent me to a node in the US to download the report. And of course, the connectivity between me and the US is a lot worse than the connectivity between me and my Akamai node over at AccessRoll. But sadly, I did not end up on the Akamai node at AccessRoll. I ended up on the Akamai node in Washington, D.C. because my DNS is no longer in the place where I am. This is a big thing, and this is worrying for CDN providers who now have to rely on Cloudflare being nice enough to tell them where the user is coming from. And Cloudflare has decided they're not going to tell them because they compete with each other. Yes?
Wouldn't it be easy for giving up a preference location?
You could do all kinds of things if you wanted to, but I'll get to that. I'll get to that in the next slide. One other thing that immediately breaks is your VPN, your split horizon stuff. Because you have domain names that only exist inside your private space addresses. Sadly, your DNS is going to the cloud, which doesn't know about that. So in my life, I have to disable my DNS over HTTPS if I want to use the PowerDNS VPN. So it's going to break stuff. Also, your own intranet domain name, well, it's gone. Forget about it. There are ways to try to work around that, by the way, but it's not so good. The fifth thing which might break, oddly enough, is your privacy, which is strange because we're now encrypting DNS. How could we be making things worse? Easily. US providers, also have privacy in the US. Not that much of it, but there is privacy in the US. For Americans, the US laws say nothing about privacy for European people. In fact, they say, barely people. So they have a FISA 702 Act, which specifically says this is how you spy on Europeans and Asians and other people. And so that's a separate law from the law for spying on Americans. It's really nice. And so 702 just says, well, good luck spying on Europeans. It's okay. And Google and Mozilla and Cloudflare, they write these privacy policies in which they say, we will do nothing with your data, we will not sell it, we will not process it, and we will not share it unless we have to by government.
Besides the metadata.
Yeah, well, they actually say, look, we're going to do nothing with it except when we have to for the government. That's this bit. That's where they have to do it. And then they say, well, actually, we put all the servers in Europe, so that's fine. And then they pass another act that said, well, sorry, it doesn't work. Once you are an American company, all your servers in Europe are just in scope of that law. So if they say, look, we need a copy of all the traffic from the Dutch internet users, then Google cannot resist. Cloudflare cannot resist. And we cannot expect them to resist because Trump would shut that. They would do a Huawei on them. So that would not be good. So the strange thing is that this is being sold to us. And look, this will enhance your privacy because now you have encrypted DNS straight into the US. So that's not an advantage. There's another thing. DNS is so old that there is not a single bit of spare room in a DNS query. We cannot, then that sucks, by the way. But it also means it's not possible to track. I cannot tell from a query what kind of device it came from. There's nothing on it. There are no markers on it or header fields or whatever. I have no idea where a query came from. This means that if you are a household and you have many people in that house and you're all behind the network address translation, once it has left your house, no one can tell which device this was. So you get a sense of privacy mixing going on. When your query comes to the service provider name server, the same thing happens again and all your queries get mixed up with all the customers, which is some free privacy that you get. DNS over HTTPS has a lot of traffic, incidental and on purpose. So for example, when you set up a TLS connection, it does all kinds of crypto things, which takes CPU cycles. And to optimize that, it leaves a ticket that says, next time you connect, give me this ticket, and then we resume the session from where we were. So we don't have to do all that crypto again. This is nice. This is like a cookie. And this cookie can be on your session for days or weeks. So this provides wonderful tracking, identifying you wherever you go. If you go to Thailand, it will still present the same resumption ticket. DNS over HTTPS, we asked, should we just put in the spec that there will be no cookies and no headers? And the CDN people said, no, we love them. Because we will find a use for them for load balancing or whatever. And so they said we're going to keep the headers in there. So whenever you use Firefox right now and you use DNS over HTTPS, it actually sends your language settings. So you can get French DNS, I don't know. And it gives you the exact version of the browser and your operating system. And well, that was really good to know for the CDNs. And we asked them, can you turn it off? And they said, yeah, it's super difficult. We read the nice thing about open source is you can read the Firefox source code, and yeah, it is super difficult to make it not send those headers, because everyone else wants those headers. So to get more privacy, we made ourselves trackable. But apparently this is not their problem, because we wrote a contract in which we said that we wouldn't do that.
One question, because is it stated anywhere that you have to go to Google? I mean, your local ISP can also offer an HTTPS, or not?
With some luck, that's two slides down. Okay. So why are Google and Firefox, why are they even pushing this? Why are they doing that? And they said, well, there's an evil going on in the world. There are service providers that hijack your Nginx domains. So if you make a typo, you would get a page that says, hey, you were looking for this page, but you probably meant that page. It's a stupid thing that some service providers do. In the UK they do it, in Germany they used to do it, except Comcast, all the service providers in the US do it, and it's super stupid. And they said, yeah, this is why we need to get all your DNS. Then if you are in Turkey or in China or in Russia or very relevant in Indonesia today, your DNS gets censored heavily, especially in Indonesia. All the content that they don't like, they block it at the DNS level. So it is super good for those people to have additional DNS available. So that it's super, I mean, don't get me wrong. I really want the people in Indonesia and Turkey and China to be able to use the whole internet. I don't think this will get it to them, but okay. It is also good if you are a Verizon customer, because Verizon actually has a privacy policy in which they say, we're going to sell all the things. I mean, they're quite clear about that. So if you are there, you could really go like, I need encrypted DNS because these people are profiling me. So I do get that one. Then the story is, look, we cannot just have this for only for special people that turn this on. We must turn this on for everyone, because otherwise it will not become a success, which is likely somewhat true. And then, of course, the final argument is, yeah, governments sometimes try to block the Pirate Bay. And we don't want them to block the Pirate Bay. Okay, it's a decent argument if you like the Pirate Bay. A slightly extension of the argument is, one day a government might block Google because they're not cooperating with us. Yeah. Or someone might write an ad blocker that blocks all the Google advertising. So it would be bad for Google. So these are sort of arguments that they use, and some of them actually do make sense, but the end result is not that you say, oh, we're going to turn this on for everyone. This is a statement from Mozilla, and they said, yeah, we have implemented it, and we'd like to turn it on by default for everyone. And you would get a small notice when you start Firefox that says, hey, we turn this on for you, and you could then say, no, I don't like this. But you have to, of course, be paying attention to that. And most people would just click OK. And you don't have to opt in, they will just do it for you. This is the sort of banner they made for a test of it. And this is the classic, okay, got it, pop-up. We in this room, we're probably going to be like, oh, I'm going to read that and read up about that so that I know what is going on. At least I hope that we would do that. But on a bad day, I would probably just also say, yeah, okay. And most of my friends would also just click okay. And the interesting thing is, at Mozilla they know this, because they did a whole study on how people respond to security warnings. And they made this picture, which is really nice. This is what normal people think of a security warning. And something happened and you need to click OK to get on with things. And this actually, I find it extremely ironic that this slide is actually produced by Mozilla. This is their work, and they're completely right, by the way. This is how people look at these warnings. And then they produce this. they're obviously experienced in what they do. Google has been a lot nicer. And I think the reason for it is that Google is in enough trouble already with GDPR and lawsuits and stuff. And they probably said, well, we know everything about you already, so we don't really need the DNS anymore. I think it is actually true. So they have said, look, we will do DNS over TLS if your provider offers that. So that comes to your question, should providers offer this? Providers should definitely offer this, because Google staff will start using it. And encrypted DNS is nice. It's good. So they have been quite explicit in saying, look, yeah, we're not going to scare you, we're not going to opt you in secretly. However, let's say your DNS, let's say you are a service provider and it turns out your DNS is not good, or you don't do encryption. I can see a future, and as Suzanne said, predicting the future is very hard, but I would not be surprised if in 2020 you would get a pop-up on your phone that says your DNS, your internet lookup service is not secure, use ours. Yes. But they've been sort of nicer about this. So what to do? I recommend everyone, if you run a network with a name server, turn on DNS over TLS. If you turn it on, you will see more and more equipment trying to connect to it. If you do that today, you will see lots of Android phones already trying to talk DNS over TLS with you. These are out-of-the-box Android phones. So it is fun to do this. And if you do this, you also lower the chances of Google one day saying, hey, your network is not good enough. So I really recommend everyone, especially if you work for a large network, just turn it on and see what happens. Unbound supports it, DNSDist supports it really well. So you can just DNSDist, you can just put it in front of any name server you have. So you don't even have to upgrade it all. it will do it for you. DNS disk will also do DNS over HTTPS for you. You can turn on DNS over HTTPS all you want, but no one will use it, because there is no automated way to tell browsers to use it. That's the discovery problem. And the final thing you can do is get involved with standardization. Because remember this graph, all the bits in red are problems. We can talk DNS over TLS to our resolver, but what certificate is behind that? We don't know. We could talk DNS over HTTPS to our local resolver, and then the certificate problem is solved, okay? But most of your equipment will actually try to connect to the DNS server that's in your little modem and router. And that does not speak DNS over TLS. The firmware was last upgraded in 2012. And it was written by the best efforts of very well-motivated people in Shenzhen. And by the way, they're actually extremely good people in Shenzhen, don't get me wrong. But then they said, hey, it works, we ship it. And so it's going to take a while before that Taihao box does DNS over TLS. And then it probably sends a copy of everything to China as well, but okay. The resolver would love to talk to authoritative servers using encryption. So we can ask the root servers for IP addresses and stuff. There is a standard for doing that, but again, there is no standard for figuring out what certificate to use. Because name servers might have many names. And so there is enough work to be done. If any of you are feeling bored, there's an ETF working group called DPRIVE, and there's one called DOE, and there's one called ADD. And this effort is not really going anywhere. Why is it not going anywhere? There is no money to be made with it. Because resolvers and authoritative servers that talk to each other, they're not interested to spy on. The cloud doesn't want it. The cloud only wants data that comes from users. So they are super active at getting the DNS from users into the cloud, but then when you say, let's now all work on the next step, and then they're like, oh, we're super busy right now. So, and we can all help with that, because if we just start writing those standards, it will actually work. So, summarizing, we really need encrypted DNS. So please do not go home and remember, yeah, Bert told us that encrypted DNS is evil. No. We need encrypted DNS. But what we do not need is a whole bunch of browsers that start sending their DNS to the US by default. That's what we do not need. And what we also do not need is DNS that is outside our control, that breaks our split horizon DNS, that breaks our own security feature, that breaks our monitoring, and that breaks our VPN, because that would suck. And our own service providers, so the KPNs, and the Vodafones, and the T-Mobiles of this world, they should all be enabling DNS over TLS, and then all the phones would start using it, and then the argument would go away that says, oh, we must do it because your DNS is not good. Maybe, but like you said, they will find another argument, but as PowerDNS, we have been fighting this for the past year, something like this. And we have found that by making the arguments against it, they have to do more work, and they have to spend more time. And what we have already achieved, and I'm not sure if this is victory, but Mozilla is doing the tests only in the US now. They have decided that Europe is maybe not the place to do these tests. So being difficult does actually get you somewhere. Okay, this has further reading. You don't need to remember this all, because the presentation is online on powerdns.org/nlung-do, where you can click on all the links, and there are, in the presentation, there are a few other links as well, where you can read the statements from Firefox and Google and stuff, and get this further reading. The first two were written by us, the second two were written by Jeff Rustin, and he spends a lot of time on, can you actually trust the company that says, give me all your stuff, but I promise to do nothing with it? But the thing is, they really promise that in writing, they're very serious about that. But the question is still, why could we not trust that? And he writes on that we cannot trust that. Okay, that ends my presentation. Thank you, and thank you for the question.
Okay, thanks. We have room for a couple of questions before going to drinks. So.
Not to me.
And somewhere in the beginning, you were mentioning that your web browser sends a lot of plain text stuff to the internet before your encrypted session starts. Does it also happen in the Tor network?
Yeah, so the interesting point is you can move metadata around. So the problem is the browser needs to know some stuff before it can encrypt things. You could have a VPN that would encrypt everything, but that would move the problem away from your own house to wherever the VPN terminates. So then you have only moved the plain text around. What Tor achieves is spreading out the plain text so far away that it's very difficult for anyone to figure out whose plain text this was. So yes, the browser will still send out plain text, but it might end up in Thailand on one day and in the US on another day, and then no one can correlate it anymore.
And of course, if you use onion addresses, there is no DNS involved, so.
Yeah, this is true. But then you're not using the internet.
One more.
But basically, if you roll out DNS over HTTPS or DNS over TLS, like we did with the normal DNS, we would solve this, wouldn't we? Because there would be a hierarchy that just.
Yeah, you're completely right. If we had done this the other way around, and if we had implemented the 2008 plan, we would not be having this meeting. Because if we did that, everything would have been encrypted and it would have been nice.
Okay, that's past now.
Yeah, but we could still do this. And we can do this again based on TLS. But it requires typing of standards. It requires motivating people. Because the first thing this will do is slow down the internet a little bit. That's always a hard sell. Unless you get some user data to compensate for it. I'm not becoming less cynical.
It's very cynical.
Well calibrated.
Coming back about my question about the preference of the location.
Yeah, so indeed, it would be possible that you could log in to Firefox and tell them, look, I am in Amsterdam or I am in Utrecht, and please relay this information to Akamai, for example. That is technically possible. In fact, it's already possible to do that based on the IP address you are sending the query from. But what that requires is for the operator of the network to agree to send that data to Akamai. And that would help Akamai a lot. And it would also help you, because the services improve. So it would be a very nice thing to do that. A very friendly, anti-competitive thing to do. And maybe you realize why it's not happening now, because these CDNs are not in the business of being friendly to each other. So that's why it could happen, but why it's unlikely to happen.
And a little follow-up question. What do you think about the Google AMP product?
Is this, well, I don't know. It
does cache a website on their own services, also on their own service, and present a certificate as if they are that website.
Nice.
That's always
good. So I'm not an expert on that. The only thing I can say, it fits the same pattern. It fits the same pattern of give your stuff to us and then you can access the internet through us.
Yeah.
And it will be better. And the big problem is the people at Google, they're so nice and so good individually that it is actually better often what they do. Except that now they know everything that everyone is doing online. So that's the dark pattern.
Okay. Well, thanks again for the lecture. See you all at the bowl.
Jouw request pakt
ja.
En verpakt met extra metadata.
Om mensen in de war te brengen.